We keep looking for points of light in a situation that has a lot of dark clouds. But I think clearly it's important for the international community to continue to encourage and challenge the partners here, which would be Palestine and Israel, to open negotiations, as has begun in Jordan, and to seriously find a way to a resolution to this issue that has been so prolonged in its effort to try to reach a solution, because negotiation is clearly the only other alternative. The alternative to negotiation would be renewed violence, and that would be tragic for all the people here in the Holy Land.
From our talks, our meetings with Israeli and Palestinian officials, it seems at the moment the mistrust is so deep there is very little possibility of that real serious negotiation at the moment. Would you like to comment on either the meetings that we've had with the Palestinian officials or the Israeli government ministers?
Well, I'm sure that the negotiators are frustrated because it has been a long process and a difficult process, and one wonders whether any progress has been made. But again, I think the general population, and I think most of our governments, see that the solution is a two-state solution where people's security is assured. So certainly for the Israelis, recognition and security are important. For the Palestinians, sovereignty and independence. And I think those are issues that are interrelated. So security will happen when there is sovereignty for the Palestinian people, where they are not struggling in responding to frustrations that mount in an occupied situation. So I think clearly we need to continue to press and push for what appears to be the best resolution, and that is a two-state solution, and to do it as quickly as possible, because as time progresses, it's going to be more and more difficult to accomplish a two-state resolution.
Around two-thirds of Israeli society, it seems, are in favor of this two-state solution, and yet the extreme right-wing religious and political parties seem to be gaining ground in quite a dramatic way since we were here even a year ago.
Yes, there are certainly people who do not look to a resolution to this problem, and there are certainly extreme views that look only to their own needs and to their own areas. But again, I think the moderate voice is a voice that needs to be raised more directly, whether on the international level or within the Israeli and Palestinian communities themselves. It would be tragic if we cannot come to a resolution to this issue, which does affect not only Israel and Palestine, but the whole Middle East and the whole world, in fact. So, you know, there have been heroic moments that have happened unexpectedly in history, and I pray that something extraordinary, remarkable, unexpected could happen to break through the impasse that exists now. It takes a leader of vision to break through what appear to be insurmountable challenges, and that's where our hope is, that there will be someone who rises to the occasion to unbudge and break through this impasse that exists.
You mentioned also, of course, the vital role of the international community and America in particular. Yes. How high is the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, do you think, on President Obama's agenda at the moment?
Well, as you know, the United States is in the midst of an election, which is always a difficult time. And regretfully, I would doubt that anything significant could happen in terms of advocating for peace in the Middle East during the next several months before the election. But I hope whoever is elected in the United States, that they will be a leader who can look to resolving this situation by encouraging Israel to take the steps necessary to achieve the security they want by bringing on a real peace.
What are you personally hoping to do? What can you do with your other bishops from the church or the churches to try and convince the government to take these necessary steps?
Well, our conference has done a great deal in advocating for a two-state resolution to the Palestine-Israeli situation, and have not only written letters to the President and to the Congress, but also met with people from the administration and from the Congress. Hope that our efforts will continue in that direction, maybe be intensified, because as I leave here this time, I'm beginning to be deeply concerned about further delays in addressing this question. And I think it's important for the Church to approach the administration and to approach the Congress that despite the fact that this is an election year, this is a situation that has potential to unravel in a very negative way. And there is an urgency to the question. So to try to raise, even in the midst of the election cycle, the urgency of this situation, that it's not improving. In fact, positions seem to be hardening, and exercising the international influence on Israel and Palestine to come to the table and to resolve this situation for the well-being of both peoples.
We've also heard here about how the hardline Israeli position is being very strongly supported by the fundamentalist Christian, right-wing Christian groups in the United States. Can you do anything, do you think, there in terms of dialogue with these groups to try and convince them of the importance of a solution, a two-state solution?
Regretfully, our culture today throughout the world is much more polarized. And that's something that exists certainly in the United States. It exists in the society. It exists in the church. And this is a deep concern. I know Cardinal Bernardine, who was the Archbishop of Chicago when I was a priest there and a bishop, pleaded for an effort to try to lessen the polarization that exists within the church. But it also is reflected, obviously, in the society. The resolution to polarization is respect. Being able to hear and listen to another's concern, not necessarily to water down one's own position, because there are certain areas that are not easy or not able to be negotiated, but on the other hand, to be able to engage in a conversation that is respectful, that it where one is listening, is extremely important. I think, again, the moderate while extreme voices tend to control interviews and to control discussions. For example, sometimes in Arizona we've had discussions on immigration, which is a highly volatile issue. But when you try to have an open forum, some extremism will be brought in and it just paralyzes the discussion. And I think perhaps the moderate voice needs to be raised much more forcibly that there are ways to resolve issues without demeaning the other person or without labeling or categorizing the other person.